Thank you so much, Mary Joy, and everyone that's doing service today in all of your footsteps. Hi, I'm Teresa, compulsive overeater. Thank you, everyone, for your service. Wow, thank you, Judy, for asking me to speak today for 20 minutes. If the timer could just, there we go. I can see the time. That's all I needed. So thank you so much, everybody, Carol, for being the timer today. So my experience, strength, and hope in OA. I have been in OA since June 7th, 2020. So next month will be my 5th month, the 5th year anniversary for when I joined OA. June 6, 2020, I did not know OA existed. I was in an AA meeting and someone had mentioned OA, and I'm like new to all of the addictions. And I just got out of rehab for alcoholism. And someone had mentioned OA, and I was like, what is that? And they explained it, and I was like, I think I have that. So that made me join OA. So I looked up meetings that met early in the morning so that I could still get dressed for work and go to work and just listen. And I went to the 7:15 meeting. That was my very first meeting ever. I got a sponsor that day. And my dear friend Judy was there when I got there. And it was a very welcoming place, even though I when I first got that, I was like, oh no, this is not gonna work for me. It was just, it was no more than about 30, 40 people. And it was a room full of white women, a couple of men here and there. And I was used to going to AA meetings, which is usually a lot more diverse. And when I went to this meeting, I was like, oh, this is not gonna work for me at all. But I decided to stay. I don't know who it was, and I wish I could remember who it was that said something that made me do like one of those, like, wait a minute, that's just like me. That's what I do. Those are the behaviors I have. And then I was like, wow, it's like 30 people here. All these people have the same thing. And then at that moment, the whole idea about who was there became mute. And the whole idea about why we were there became the most important part of it. And all that happened within that first meeting. All these things that go in my mind about feeling accepted, and for me, and I speak very, very honestly about this because it's my story. It's part of the reason why I was an alcoholic, is that I've had to deal with racism, and it just, it pisses me off. It makes me mad. It made me want to drink. It made me want to eat. It made me want to do all these things, because people who have these crazy ideas about somebody else they don't even know because of the color of their skin is just the most ridiculous thing I've ever experienced in life. And when I bring it up, it makes other people uncomfortable. But it helps me because I need to release, just like I would release something if I said, I'm eating because a friend of my in my family passed away. If I say something like that, it's absolutely no different. So it's so important for people to feel comfortable about speaking about things that will cause them to eat. Or participate in any of these destructive behaviors that we have. So I do speak on it, and just like other people speak the opposite. You know, I've experienced being in a meeting when someone was demonstrating their racism, and it bothered me quite a bit. But I also have to say, you know, I've learned so much about being in these rooms and being different and you know, in the with race and all of that. And I've learned that most people are not like that. But there are so many little hidden things in there that as a Black person, I have this trigger, you know, that goes off, you know. It's like a racism dar, you know, like a gaydar type thing. You just it's like all of that. I know when it happens to me. And it's something I have to deal with regularly. But what I've found in OA and in AA, oh my God, what I have found in these meetings. I cannot even tell you how much I have changed as a person by being a part of a 12-step program. My life is significantly different. My family sees the difference. The fact that I want to do service says something because I wouldn't want to do service for something that I don't believe in. I wouldn't want to do service for something that I see harms other people, you know, because it's rarely, rarely about me when I join something. I'm not really a joiner kind of person. Like I didn't pledge in college, you know. Yeah, I was in me, fi, me. And I'm more of a leader. You know, I'm more the type of person that will say, hey, let's create this. And that happens in OA and AA. I became a joiner. Because I can't do it myself. And that's what I used to always do. Everything I would do myself. Because I had to. I have a wonderful, wonderful family. Beautiful sisters and brothers. My parents are no longer with us, but they were together all my entire life. We all lived in the same place. As seven of us siblings, we're all still here. I'm six out of seven. I'm the youngest girl. There's three girls, four boys, and it's a lot of nieces and nephews. I have no kids, and you know, I'm single, bachelorette. This is my bachelorette pad that I live in here, right on the lake, and I'm a very blessed person to have that. And I learned that. When I entered the rooms, mostly in AA, when I entered the rooms and I realized how other people grew up and some of the different things that they had to experience. And I think when I heard the stories of people, I know that that was one of the reasons why I wanted to do service. But that was another reason why I wanted to sponsor other people. And it helped me to fully understand not only this disease and how it manifests differently in all of us, but all of the stuff that led up to it, you know, all that stuff. And then when I think about my own story, I'm like, well, I didn't experience a lot of trauma or any trauma or you know, I had what you would call, you know, a normal American life. But as I started to dig deeper, into the fourth step. And that's why it's so important to do step studies, y'all. If you've never done one, that should be a part of your program, where you do one at least a year, every once a year, at least one a year. But when I did my fourth step, did a really deep dive, that's when I realized so much about myself. You don't have to come from a family of trauma. You don't have to, have these traumatic events in your life for you to have some type of hidden trauma that you don't know about. And it was a, oh my God. I don't think that I'm even ready right now after speaking so many times in meetings to say what my trauma was, But I discovered it. And I'm saying that now because I discovered it. It was last year I discovered it. It's been less than a year since I knew about these events, but I never looked at it as traumatic. It's just something I dealt with. I just because I always had to deal with stuff. When you're in a family, a big family, everybody loves you, but you still got to fend for yourself. People don't have time to do this and do that. And my parents, by the time they had me, and then my little brother after me, they were tired. And my mom decided to go to school, back to school when I was in middle school. I became a latchkey kid. I'm glad my mom trusted us at that time, and we didn't do anything wrong. We didn't mess that up. But that changed me. That little short time left me without guidance. And that guidance I didn't have all the way through I graduated from high school. I've learned to get away with stuff that I knew I shouldn't do because I know I wasn't going to be watched like I used to be. So things like that really contributed to me making my own decisions and doing the things that I want to do when I want to do it and how I want to do it, regardless of how I was taught, by my parents and how I observed my older sisters and brothers do the right thing. I was a little bit of a rebel type of kid. And that led to alcoholism, and it led to compulsive overeating because I grew up in a family. I was not an overweight kid. I was an athlete. I'm still an athlete. But as soon as I got out of my home, I was like, okay, I'm in college now. I can do what I want to do when I want to do it. And food was part of it. Alcohol and drugs was part of it. All of it, was part of it. Relationships, sex, all of that was like the coming out of Teresa when I went away to college. And and I did it at a level that was normal, I guess you could say that. When someone goes away to college, what happens when we go away to college? I didn't gain weight in college because I was a physical education major. I actually lost a lot of weight. And when I got home, my mom was like, oh no, you're too thin. She looked, are you eating? Is what she said. And I was like, yeah, Ma, I have to run a lot. I have to do a lot of athletic stuff. I have to do this, I have to do that. That's why, this is different. It's college. And she was like, oh, okay. She accepted that. But I do remember at that time, now that I'm in program and I did a lot of deep dives, I used exercise. I was an exercise bulimic 100%, even way after college, right up until the point where I started what alcohol and stuff like that. All through my adult life, I used exercise as a way to kind of curb my weight. Because I knew some days I was gonna not eat right, but some days I ate right. I was like, I knew how to eat. I just, sometimes I wanted to do eat whatever I wanted to eat when I wanted to eat it. And as I got older, I couldn't keep doing that. I needed to learn in my mind that food is fuel. And it's not there just to be enjoying it and gorging and just constantly eating it. I knew that, but my will, which I still have problems with, my will has taken over in so many ways. And I didn't know what that meant either. I grew up in a Pentecostal church where we had to go to church every Sunday, and I didn't care for church. I liked Sunday school because I liked reading the Bible, but the problem is I used to always question the Bible and I got in trouble all the time. So and this is me a kid, and I was like one of those people, like in like we have in meetings that those people want to read all the time. You get the same people reading all the time. How was that kid? In Sunday school, I want to read, and the teacher didn't mind because I was a pretty good reader. We used to play school in my at home, so reading wasn't a problem for me. So, but I would read whatever it was, and I would always say, "Did that happen for real?" I would get in trouble. Then they go tell my mom. And yeah, blasphemy or something. I was like, oh. So religion was never for me. I'm still not religious. I'm a very spiritual person, and that is what I learned in OA and AA about spirituality and how my will takes over when it comes to a lot of different things, not just food and alcohol, but every aspect of my life. I need to ask my higher power to guide me. And if I don't hear it from my higher power, I need to call someone to help me out. And this is new. This is new. 6 years new, because I just did not ask for help. I would find the answers. And then I research and I put things together. And then people think, oh, that's so great. So I'm so used to people looking at what I do and they say it's so great because I take the time to put it together. I don't throw things together. I really I'm very mindful of things. All of that meant nothing when it came to program. I needed help. And the fact that, and I see that I have a minute, a minute left. I feel blessed, y'all. Do service. Go to step study workshops. I personally believe that everybody that attends meetings should do some form of service. And a lot of people say, well, just showing up is service. Okay. That's level 0.5. When you speak in a meeting, that's level one. So service can keep going up. So, and we need, and we have to have service in order to keep these meetings running. So please do a favor for me. When you share today, I know you're probably going to say, thank you, Teresa, and all that. Yes, that's fine. But think about what you do. Think about your service. Think about you. Do you go to step studies? Think about what do you do for your program that's beyond the meeting level? What do you do? What can you do if you haven't done anything like in the future? Because I know that certain times of the year, people can't do things, especially when school is in. I know about that one. Do you take advantage of the times that you do have? And I'm going to end with this. When I think about the serenity prayer, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change and encourage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. That is so profound when you think about it. Accept it, have courage, and have the wisdom to know the difference. With that, I'll keep coming back.